Been a pretty marvelous weekend.
Yes, it has.
We really enjoy this place.
We enjoy it.
And I can't imagine Renee being raised in a place like this. I had to go through hell to find something like this. But you know, God has a unique path for each of us.
Yes, He does. Yes.
Thank God we all arrive at the same place.
Yes.
We just come from different directions. I want to share something with you tonight that I don't know how much I'll have to share because I haven't said much about it before. But it's what God has been really dealing with me, the latest thing that God has been dealing with me about. And that is, I want to start in Hebrews 11 and talk about those mighty men of faith.
Amen.
Always wanted to be one of those guys. But one day as I was really seeking the Lord about becoming a mighty man of faith, I heard this. To be a mighty man of faith, you might have to go through what they went through. So then I had to stop and really question whether or not I really wanted to do that. But we all do. That's our heart, you know. And it's not a matter of us being anything at all. But I'll tell you what, there is a mighty man of faith in our midst. Every one of us. Every one of us has that mighty man of faith. I used to get discouraged when I'd read Revelations. I used to read the first three chapters about he that overcomes. He that overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of God. And he that overcomes, I'll give to eat of the hidden manna. And he that overcomes, all of these promises. And at the time that I was really discouraged reading that, I thought, there's just no way. And, you know, because I was such a failure at being a good Christian, the Lord was so merciful to me, and it spoke some of the riches of His love and compassion and forgiveness to me, that now I'm able to share that all over the world about how gracious God is. That He is not looking at anything but the beauty of your essence that He's placed within you. Anyway, in Hebrews 11, I want to start at verse 5. Verse 5 talks about Enoch. It says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on to talk about all these mighty men of faith. Talks about Abraham. And then it says in verse 13, all of these mighty men of faith, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. And I realized that Enoch was included in that. Now, I always thought the greatest thing that could ever happen to us would be the Enoch experience. To be translated. Haven't we all thought that? But yet, it includes Enoch in all of these men who had... They looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, instead of Abraham. And all of these mighty men of faith, not a one of them made it into the promises.
Amen.
These all died in faith, in verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced by them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. None of them really knew where they came from. The mighty men of faith did not have the revelation that we have today.
Amen.
They were looking for a country. They knew that there was a city, that builder and maker was God, but they didn't realize where they came from. And In these days, more than ever before, God is unveiling our minds and our eyes to where we're beginning to remember from whence we came. But not only is it important to remember from where we came, it's important to know why we came. All of us came from the very realms of glory. Now, all of us have known that, you know, Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. That he was the fullness of God in humanity.
Yes.
But what we haven't realized until recent times is that we all have come from the realms of glory. See, that's from whence we came. We came from the very bosom of the Father, but why did we come? And what was the promise that none of them achieved? It was a land that God gave them, but it wasn't a land that they just walked into and settled down in. It was a land that they had to fight for.
Amen.
There was lots of obstacles in that land.
Amen.
And if you'll remember the story, when they sent out the 12 spies, there was only two of them that came back and said, "We're well able to take the land."
Amen.
Those two men had a revelation of the greatness of God that was able to deliver them and to give them the ability to overcome the giants in the land.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the promise was the land. But we know that that was only a type.
Yes.
The land that God is interested in is not a piece of ground, even in Jerusalem today. God is not interested in that piece of ground.
That's right.
That's what religion would like us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But God is interested in the ground, the earth, the temple that he has brought forth.
Yes.
See,
yes.
That's the land.
Yes.
And the reason none of these men... they all died having not received the promise. They did not have the revelation that we have today. And we have become, because of so much confusion in our teaching and in our religiosity, today we really don't, in a way we know that the land is our bodies, that God is in us, but we're still... through the religiosity, we've become so spiritually minded. Have you heard that expression? Oh, Brett, they used to tell me, "Brother, you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good." Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in that.
That's right.
Because God is interested in incarnation.
Yes.
God wants to fully incarnate himself in humanity.
Yes, he does.
I often wonder what some people that surprise they experience when perhaps all their life they've waited to die and go to heaven, that it must be a shock to them when their body falls over and they find out the truth. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good place to be, but they might find out that they waited all their life to die and go somewhere else when the intent and purpose of God was to come to earth.
Amen. Amen.
God's intent and purpose has always been to establish his presence, his being in a people. And yet, all of our religion, most of it teaches us that, you know, the goal is to be good, to die, to go to heaven. Or perhaps to get caught up in some kind of a rapture. And so many of God's people, rather than establishing and allowing God to fully incarnate their being, they really don't even know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize that God, and when I say God, I mean your spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have a spirit. And Paul said, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So I'm not saying that we are God in the sense of the Almighty Creator, but we are God in the sense that we all came out of that one essence, that one being, that one source. We all have that one life, that one nature, that one character, and that being that we are wants to become fully incarnated in a being, in a person, in a body. There's something about being human. I said here the other night, I absolutely love being human.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you, when you get to the other side, you'll find that there's some things there that there's things here that you can't possibly do there. Why are we here? We are here. We are incarnated in these bodies. Because we want to experience being human.
Amen.
And we came to bring the message of God's unconditional love, compassion, and forgiveness to the whole world.
Amen.
But most of us, because we become religious, and you really get a touch from God, and you get into religion, we all of a sudden, all of us want to become preachers. We want to be in full-time ministry. You know this story.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, God wants to be human. Do you know that God absolutely loves to get underneath a car and get all greasy? But that to us, that wouldn't be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
God loves to get out on a golf course, and I've never done that, I've never played golf, but God loves to get out on a golf course and hit a golf ball. What God has always wanted is for the natural, for us to realize that the natural is also spiritual.
Amen.
And if He's called you to be a preacher, or that's why you came here, then rather than you doing everything in your power to make that happen, it will just happen for you.
Amen.
If you'll just relax.
Amen.
And wait on God.
Exactly.
But so many people, that their intent of their heart, they enjoy perhaps their mechanical work that they're doing, but then they get religious and they almost feel guilty for being a mechanic when they feel God has called them out to preach. When in truth, He's placed His being within them, He's given them the enjoyment of being an auto mechanic, where in being that, they can also express everything that He is.
Amen.
And maybe never step inside a church.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why they all died. They all died in faith, believing, but never received the promise. The promise is the land. God wants to fully inhabit, incarnate Himself in humanity.
Amen.
So that everything of the natural, we must begin to realize that God is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if every man would simply do what is in his heart to do? Now, I know there are some exceptions where, you know, I'm talking about God's people. But if we would all do what is in our heart to do, what we really enjoy doing, Christians wouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be miserable.
Amen.
Because so many of us do things out of a religious mindset, thinking that's what we should do. When if you would learn, it's like I share so much about, you know, you don't have a hard, stubborn heart. None of you in this building has that. God has given us a heart of flesh.
Yes.
A heart that loves Him. So if you love God and you love doing what you're doing, whether it's an auto mechanic or whether it's whatever it is, you do that to the fullest extent of your ability, but at the same time realize that this is God manifested in this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be just as spiritual and express God just as fully being an auto mechanic as I can a preacher in a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
We know that's the truth. Because nothing can hinder the expression of God but our darkened mind.
Amen.
You know, I've ministered so much over the years on getting people out of this guilt and condemnation that we've all been under by trying to take this flesh and make it more presentable to God. Mm-hmm. We've all probably experienced that guilt and condemnation. But now we need to balance that out and realize that no, there's absolutely nothing we can do in ourselves to improve our character. We're absolutely hopeless to change our condition. We're absolutely wretched in all areas in trying to do anything for God. That is so true. And that's a revelation that comes easy to us because that's our experience. We've tried so hard and failed so many times. Mm-hmm. Even those of us who feel that we've overcome most of the sins of the world and we've done all that, there's still, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not manifesting God to his fullness.
That's right.
And why is that? Because we still have not got to the place where we can fully believe God.
Amen.
I think somebody said here this week, the only sin there is a sin of unbelief.
Amen.
You know, and really the sin, and this goes along with it, but really the only sin in the world there is the sin of mistaken identity. Mm-hmm. Because if you knew who you were,
that's right.
If you understood that you are a manifestation, an incarnation of God on this earth, if you really have that revelation and you really believe that, and every one of you believe it in your heart, the problem is in the mind.
Amen.
But we learn to stand in the truth and in the reality of our being, and we continually speak those things that we know to be true in our heart, and God will begin to fully possess and incarnate this ground. And that's what he's after.
Yes, he is.
God will never, you will never be satisfied until God fully inhabits this being.
Amen.
But yet we've been so well experienced in being failures, it's impossible for us to believe that we could ever be the fullness of his manifestation on the earth. Yet we know that's possible. And we have to get to that place where we believe God more than we believe our experience of being a failure.
Amen.
Paul said this. He said, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Now, there's been a lot of ministry over the years about never dying. I'm sure you've all met people who are never going to die. Every one of them that I've ever heard, even the ministers that ministered that, they all died. Why is that? It's not that they didn't believe what they were saying, but they never fully took possession of their land.
That's right.
This corruptible, and when I say corruptible, I don't mean that your body is corrupt. Your body is the temple of God.
Amen. Amen.
I know many years ago as I was seeking God about that, I believed my body was evil because it had all these, you know, unholy desires. So when Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, is no good thing, I thought he was talking about this body because of all of its mm-hmm. desires. But I realized one day that's impossible. The flesh that he was talking about there is the carnal mind, the carnal thinking.
Amen. Right.
Because this body is holy.
Yes.
Paul said in Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Well, that word holy really threw me because I wanted to present my body, but when it said present it holy, I thought, no, not me. But when I realized that the only thing Paul was talking about when he said, in me, that is in my flesh dwells a no good thing, he was speaking of the carnal mind.
Yeah.
Because my body is pure and holy, and it'll only do what my mind tells it to do. No longer are these unholy desires rise in my body because my mind doesn't go there. I absolutely love women all over this country and all over this world. I looked at in a lady's eyes in Seattle last weekend, and I said, I love you absolutely. And I had tears in my eyes and said, you don't know how much I love you. And there was absolutely, there was just a pureness in that.
Amen.
Present your bodies. But first of all, you have to know your bodies are holy. Mm-hmm. Your mind will lie to you. Your mind will point out all the things in your life, but that's not the truth. It might be a fact, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
We see, we believe in facts more than we believe the truth.
Yes.
It's a fact that there's sickness in my body, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
There's something in our mind. There's areas in our mind yet that haven't been renewed.
Amen.
So we just stand in faith. See, that's what faith is all about. You stand in faith knowing that he who hath called you, he who hath begun a good work in you, will complete it. Not maybe if you act or do right, but if he started a work in you, he will complete it. Jesus, it says, is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, I still know that it's impossible for me to do anything with this flesh.
Yes. That
because the moment I try to act out of a performance, I immediately put myself under the law and get out of the area of grace. Mm-hmm. I know still to this day it's impossible. Mm-hmm. My flesh will always be flesh.
Yes.
But I know the truth. And the truth is, I am a son. Just like I shared the other night. A child was formed in your mother's womb, but a son was given. A son cannot be born, and a son cannot die.
That's right.
A child in your mother's womb was formed, but you came from the very portals of glory.
Yes.
You have always been, and you will always be.
Yes.
See, we know now. See, those men that said they knew not from whence they came. If they did, they might have understood the journey to, that's where they were going.
Glory.
And it's not that we want to go back to heaven, it's that we need to remember who we are and why we're here so that God can fully incarnate in humanity.
Yes, hallelujah. Glory. Yeah.
It's nothing to do with performance at all.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
So never would I ever put anybody under the guilt of trying to be holy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we must realize who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That the Holy One is in us. We have no less of God in us than Jesus had himself.
Amen.
And the only reason that he could do what he did is he did not have the veils over his mind that we talked about last night.
That
he had a full awareness of God being his Father, and he fully possessed his land.
Yes,
so that's what God is after. The will of God is the same for every man.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, probably you, when you were young, you always said, "Look, I just find out what the will of God is for our life."
Mm-hmm.
We felt that if we could find out what the will of God is for our life, we'd do that. That would be the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
When if we really understand it's so simple, the will of God is the same for all. He simply wants to become you. And out of his life, his being, his nature filling you, out of that will come the expression of his life. And all of us are unique.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are different.
Yes.
Well, my goodness, he created every leaf different and every snowflake different. So why wouldn't we be different? Yet we separate and we divide and we criticize and we judge one another because we're different. But when you realize we all have the one nature, we all have the one spirit. And we can love the Baptist.
Yes.
We can fellowship with the Catholic. When you realize that the one is all.
Yes.
Remember what Paul said. He said Christ is in all and is all.
Yes.
Thank God we're beginning to have our eyes open to that fact.
Yes.
That there's only one. There is only one. You know, all of us, we're all one. But in that oneness is the diversity of the different expressions. And it's wonderful. We were joking in the car today with Carolyn, and I said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if everybody was like me? Well, we think that. You know, that's what the Baptists think.
Yeah.
The world would be heaven if everybody would be a Baptist.
Yeah.
Or the Pentecostal think, I think they know better now, but we used to think if we could get everybody to speak in tongues, we would all be one.
Right.
Because we were all speaking from that one spirit.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been true, except we got into the carnal mind.
Yeah,
and we thought it's not enough to have the one spirit. We all have to believe alike. And so if you don't believe like me, then I can't fellowship with you. And until those mindsets are broken down in us, God will never fully incarnate in us. And when we realize, we begin to experience this Christ as us, that's when you begin to overcome. Like I said, you realize there's no way that this flesh will ever overcome. But we don't worry about that anymore, and we know that's true. But what we don't know yet, we're beginning to understand this, and boy, look out. Christ is the overcomer. Jesus is just as much alive in you today as he was 2,000 years ago. And you know, he took humanity to the cross. A lot of people today despise our humanity, you know. But he took that old humanity to the cross, and he raised it up. And now the humanity of Jesus is the finest, uplifted, glorious humanity. And that's who we are.
Amen.
We walk in that uplifted humanity of Jesus when that mind begins to be formed in us. And we realize our bodies are wonderful. You know, even science, medical science, they don't understand it, but they'll tell you about every 7 years, you're a totally new person. Every cell in your body is replaced. And you have a totally new body by, I think it's 7 years. I don't remember the exact time. But when you reach a certain age, that kind of stops and you start reversing. Well, why is that? They don't even know. They call it a death gene. I know what the death gene is. It's the belief in that. All of us expect that. All of us know there's no way over death. There's no way over old age. But God is breaking through that mindset. Oh, I'll tell you, I mean it when I say we are living in the most glorious time. When no longer are God's people wandering around, not even knowing from whence they came, trying to look for a city and they don't even know where it's at.
That's right.
We've been taught that it's that physical golden city that's coming down out of the sky. We have no clue. Most of God's people have no clue that they are the city.
Yes.
And we're not looking for a city anymore. See, if you realize that you are the city, you can begin to walk in the city where there is no lie, there is no darkness, there is no all of this. It's not a fairy land that we go to someday when we die. Because see, and most of us get scared when we hear that, because nothing enters that city that makes a lie. There's nothing enters that city. And Paul says, you know, the adulterers, the fornicators, all that, they don't enter the kingdom of God. So that gets us back into the place thinking, well, how can I make it? There's some of those things in my life. We make it by believing and by having an understanding that the overcomer is in us. And the more, as I shared last night, the more we behold. You know, and this sounds like it could be an ego trip. But I'll tell you, there's times when I stand in the quiet and there's the most beautiful essence of his being that just fills me. That's where the overcomer is. And I'm not there yet. Because, you know, we all of us have things to overcome in our life. But rather than try to the moment you put your finger on it, the moment you try to perform that which God says he will do, you just mess everything up. Remember when he told Abraham he was going to give him a son, and what did Abraham do? He produced an Ishmael. See, and that's what we do. Every time we hear God speak and we try to do something about it, we produce an Ishmael. But whenever we hear God speak and we just say, okay, and don't even try to do anything about it. See, God wants you willing. He doesn't expect that he tells you to do something and then you got to worry and figure out and have bake sales and, you know, sell all your books and tapes and figure out the ways to do it. All he wants you to do is say, okay, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it by the sweat of my brow, because that's under the curse. And the curse has been lifted from us. We're not under the curse. Even if you break the law, even if you momentarily get caught up in the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, you're not under the law. You're not going to suffer the effects of the law. Because Galatians 3:13 says what? God has removed the curse of the law from off his people. You say, boy, brother, that gives me a lot of liberty. Well, it does. But, you know, Paul also says, use not your liberty for the occasion to the flesh.
Right.
So I'm not preaching liberty in the flesh. I'm just telling you that God, more than we have ever realized, just waiting for us. Doesn't matter how many times you blow it in your life or in a day's time. It takes just a second to turn your heart to the Lord. And when the heart, remember, turns to the Lord, the veils are taken away.
Hallelujah.
And you begin to once again see that Christ in me is the glory of God.
Yes.
You notice I didn't say is the hope of glory?
Uh-huh. It is the glory.
When Paul said that Christ was the hope of glory, he was talking about the Gentiles. Gentiles, the unbeliever, has the hope of glory. Christ is their hope of glory. But, see, Jesus, when you're regenerated and quickened by the Spirit, and his life comes alive in you, you are the glory of God. He said to his disciples, the glory that my Father has given to me, I give it to you. And we've had some crazy notions about what glory is. It's a cloud or it's what. But no, the glory is simply the expression of God.
Amen.
That's his glory.
Amen.
So whenever you're expressing God, no matter what you're doing, when you're expressing God, people see his glory.
Amen.
And it's so wonderful. If you stop being, trying to be spiritual and learn that the natural, the spiritual must become the natural and the natural must become the spiritual. So that regardless of what you're doing, you can be happy. If you're a janitor, there was a time when I was working for an aircraft company and they were laying off like 20,000 people. And they asked me, they said, because I had a pretty good job, and they said, well, we really don't want to let you go. Would you do janitorial work? And I said, sure. And I used to clean bathrooms and mop the floor. And again, I was just as happy doing that as I was sitting at my desk with a secretary in an office.
Amen.
It does not make any difference.
Amen.
Because our peace and our happiness does not consist in what we do or in the abundance of our possessions, as Jesus says. Our peace comes from knowing Him.
Amen.
And the only way you can really know Him is to discover Him within yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And for that glorious life to come alive in you.
Yes. Yes.
Now that's resurrection life.
Yes.
See, I used to think resurrection life would be that there would be no sickness, resurrection would just make me perfect. Well, there is a place for the fullness of God's life. When this corruptible puts on incorruption but I'll tell you, we experience resurrection life right today.
Yes.
If we didn't, I couldn't do what I'm doing.
Amen.
I couldn't. Resurrection life, when you really understand, it's the most wonderful thing. Carol and I was in a conference in somewhere in Florida. I was ministering with Stephen Jones and Tony Salmon. We were doing a conference in Florida. And I was speaking on a Sunday morning. And I was sitting in my chair and I was so sick. I couldn't move. I mean, I don't even know how I got there. I felt so bad. But I knew God wanted me to speak. And so when it came my time and they called me up to the platform, I got out of my chair, I went up there, I opened my mouth, and immediately it was all gone. See, that's resurrection life.
Amen.
That's resurrection life.
Amen.
When you feel like it's absolutely impossible for you to function, resurrection life comes in and raises you up.
Yes.
In fact, one of the meanings of the word resurrection is to stand up again.
Hallelujah.
So I say, knock me down as many times as you want.
Amen.
Whether it's sickness, whether it's my carnal mind, knock me down as much as you want, but I will stand up again.
Amen.
I have to stand up again.
Yes.
I can't do anything but stand
yes.
up again
yes.
because He is alive and living in this temple.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I displayed it every moment of the day.
Yes.
And I will.
Amen.
But we are not waiting for another day because we're walking in the day.
Yes,
we know that the fullness of the day is just dawning, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, God is just beginning to dawn within me.
Yes.
As Peter says, take heed until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Well, that's what we're experiencing. It's the dawning of a day. It's an eternal day.
Mm-hmm.
John experienced this day on the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah, he did.
It's never been a day that was coming. It's been an eternal day. And we're just beginning to realize that it's a day that we can enter in and walk in right now.
Amen.
Just like we now know that we are the city and we can walk in the city. It's a most glorious, wonderful day.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful day. I'll tell you, God's people are so discouraged,
mm-hmm.
so downcast, and so because we haven't had the encouragement, we haven't really been ministered to where we can believe that we have that substance. We all know it intellectually. There isn't a Christian alive who won't tell you Jesus lives in me. but very few experience it. But, and that's a, boy, that's a big but. Today is a different story.
Yes.
Today, God has voices. It's one voice, but it's many voices.
Mm-hmm.
Proclaiming the day of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Presenebius. Boy, he's a voice.
Yes.
Today. I don't know if you read his material, but I can't wait every month until I get his paper.
Amen.
He's a voice today.
Yes, he is.
And he taught me a valuable lesson many years ago, Preston did. We were both doing some meetings in Duncan, Arizona, and he called me up and he invited me to his home, and he said, "You can ride to Duncan with us." Well, I had wanted to meet Preston so bad. You know, I really wanted to meet him. But I just, you know, we just wait, you know, because if things are supposed to happen, they'll happen. Anyway, I was sitting on his porch, and he said, "Well, Gary," because there was a lot of controversy about me at the time. There's still probably even more today, but there was so much controversy about my teaching and what I was saying. And Preston said something to me I've never forgotten, and it's helped me in my view of other people. And he said, "Well, Gary, you know, if I read something that you write or somebody writes that I don't necessarily see it that way, or perhaps I don't agree with it, I just say, well, that's the way Gary sees it." And that's the way I've learned to become with everyone. We don't have to see everything the same way. You know, if Sister Frances says something or y'all say something, you just say, well, that's the way they see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're to see it that way, God will show it to you.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, well, I started out saying that we all have a path.
Mm-hmm.
And people really get upset when I say this, but the Hindus have a path just like you do.
Yes,
and so does the Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
We're all, as a symbol, climbing a mountain. But when you get to the top of the mountain, you'll find that Jesus is Lord and King.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
And many of them, even in the Hindu and the Buddhist faith, many of them find that out.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we want to trash them because they don't believe like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we'll stand in our churches and we'll say there's only one God, there's only one Spirit, there's only one faith. But we don't recognize faith in another unless it lines up with our belief system. And if you're really, really open and you have an occasion to meet a spiritual person in another religion, you will find the same essence in them that's in you. If they're truly spiritual and they're truly seeking God, because He will speak to them in the language that they understand.
Amen.
He will speak to them in the culture that they understand.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing God just broadens us to be all inclusive.
Yes.
And know that everyone is loved. And we all, none of us know the whole truth.
That's right.
We're coming into the knowledge of the truth. All of us.
Yes.
And the Christians don't have a corner on God. They're just as confused as the Buddhists or the Hindus or anybody else. So we learn not to condemn anyone, but to simply minister the love of God. You can tell a Buddhist that God is your father. He ain't going to argue with you. You can just simply explain to people that God is the Father of all. God loves His creation. God brought you forth so that you could be an expression of who He is. Well, that's universal language to the spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Lutheran. But see, Spirit has a universal language that we all can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But to understand that, you have to know God.
Yes.
And not about Him, but really know Him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you, there's many giants yet in this land.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like, you know, and well, I know it's impossible for me to overcome. But I'll tell you some of the giants I have overcome. I've overcome all bitterness.
Amen.
I've overcome all anger.
Amen.
I've overcome all pointing of the finger. I've overcome all conflict. There is no conflict in my life whatsoever. No conflict. I've overcome stressful situations. You won't find anyone with any more peace than I carry.
Amen.
And it's not because that I've done anything in the flesh.
Amen.
So, I know I can't overcome in the flesh, but I do know I have an overcomer in me.
Amen.
And he is the overcomer.
Yes, he is.
The more I worship him,
yes,
the more I talk to him, oh Lord, I'm so
yes,
thankful. Father, I'm so thankful to know that the power of your life, the magnificence of your essence, the greatness of your being is now being formed within me.
Yes.
That's how you overcome. How could you be angry and talk like that?
Amen.
How could you have bitterness in your heart when you just turn that heart to the Lord and you begin to fellowship in the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we overcome. It's not hard. It's only hard. You know, Proverbs says something that's really true. The way of the transgressor is hard.
Yeah.
But once you have your faith in Jesus,
mm-hmm,
and once you quit all of that guilt and condemnation that you put on yourself and realize I'm hopeless, but I have all that he is being formed in me.
Amen.
So let us possess the land.
Amen.
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 Glory. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.